Well, let's open our Bibles to the book of Galatians and pick up where we left off last Sunday morning in Galatians chapter 1. Just by way of review to draw us into today's verses, the letter of Galatians was written by the Apostle Paul, a traveling missionary, called by the Lord to take the gospel to many places. And one of the places that he took the gospel to was the region of Galatia, which is now modern-day Turkey. He was involved in planting many churches there, discipling leadership, and of course writing this follow-up letter to those churches. The book of Galatians is a very serious book. As I said last week, there are no words of commendation from the apostle in this letter, only words of concern and even words of rebuke. He reminds them in the very first verse that his apostleship is not his own idea. His ministry was not his clever idea as to how to reach the world with the gospel, but he was called by God, by the authority of Jesus Christ. When he came to know Christ on that road to Damascus that we read about in Acts chapter 9, he immediately was told by the Savior that he would lead a very difficult life for the sake of the gospel, but that God would use him in a mighty way. And so he reminds the readers here who are now under the influence of false apostles and false teachers that he is a true apostle, that he has been called by God through Jesus Christ, not from men. And so the gospel proceeded from God, not the authority of men. We also noted in verse 3 that the gospel is the only pathway to God's grace and peace. That is, the gospel is God's gospel, and it's the only way to be made right with God, to be made to be at peace with God. We are born as sinners, naturally at enmity, at war with God, but God took the initiative to save us through his Son and his work. And when we experience that grace, the grace of the gospel, we come to be at peace with God. We then also noted that the gospel is preoccupied with the redeeming work of Jesus Christ. The gospel is about Christ. It's not about us. It's for us, but it's not about us. It's for us, but it's about Christ. It's all about Jesus and what he has done for us. He gave himself, verse 4 says, for our sins to deliver us from the present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be the glory forever and ever. And so the gospel is about Jesus, and it is for the glory of God. It is about Jesus, but for us. It is about Jesus, but for the glory of God, not for our glory. We will one day share in his glory when we see him face to face. And so it is this conviction of the Apostle Paul that the gospel is first and foremost God's gospel, and therefore it must be guarded, it must be protected, it must be defended, even to the point where he writes a letter of rebuke to people who know Christ, but yet they have adopted other teachings in addition to Jesus. So they have come to the point of understanding that they can only be saved by grace, but now, under the influence of the Judaizers, they have come to believe that they need Jesus plus the Old Testament law, Jesus plus the ceremonies of Old Testament Judaism, Jesus plus. And that's to be a warning to us, because we live in a day and age in which there are many people who profess to know Jesus Christ, and yet in their hearts they believe a system that is Jesus plus something else. Jesus plus a certain measure of their own righteousness. Jesus plus a certain measure of their own obedience to the law. And yet we need to come to the place where we fully understand that we are accepted and approved by God only through Jesus Christ and his sin atoning work on the cross and his victorious resurrection. And so that's why then you read this startling statement in verse 6 where the apostle says, I am astonished. So in light of what I've just said to you about the gospel being God's and all about Christ and the grace of God through Jesus Christ, I am astonished. I am bewildered. My breath is taken away from me to think that you are so quickly deserting him who called you in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel. And he says, it's a different gospel, but it's not a legitimate gospel. It's another gospel, but it's not another gospel in the sense that there are additional gospels. And so we hear it said today that all roads lead to heaven, right? You've heard that. All roads lead eventually to heaven. You know, the roads may look differently. They might take winding paths and go up and down, and they might have different key leaders associated with their roads and their religions. But eventually, they're all going to get there. That is a lie from the pit of hell. That is a lie from the mouth of Satan. We believe that the words of Jesus Christ are the words of God, for he is the Son of God. And it is Jesus who said, I am the way, the one and only way, not one of many ways. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And so Paul says, I'm astonished that you are turning away from the grace of Christ to a different gospel. And so in these five verses, we find two warnings that are given to us concerning counterfeit gospels. Number one, stay faithful to God who called you. Stay faithful to God who called you. That is God's exhortation to all of us this morning, not just to the coins as they go away to the other side of the world for the sake of the gospel. Yes, of course, we pray for them to be faithful to the gospel and to never be led astray. But that's for all of us here. Stay faithful to God who called you. Look at the way that Paul words it in verse 6. I'm astonished that you are so quickly deserting him who called you. It's only been a few years since he saw these people, and now he's having to write this letter. But notice how God called them. God who called you in the grace of Christ. Why does he bring up grace here? Why doesn't he just say, God who called you in Christ? Well, because the issue here is the Judaizers have imposed upon the believers the Old Testament law and have said grace isn't enough. Salvation is grace plus the law. And so Paul is saying to the people, stay faithful to God who called you. Well, how did he call you? He called you in the grace of Christ. But now you're turning to a different gospel. Not that there is another gospel, verse 7, but there are some who trouble you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. See, a distortion of the gospel is another gospel. That's what Paul is saying. And it's another, not of the same kind, but in the Greek, it's another heteros, hetero, the word from which we get heterosexual, different. It's another of a different kind. It's a totally different gospel. And these people are troubling you. They're wanting to distort the gospel. But then look what he says in verse 8 and verse 9. These are startling verses as well, strong warnings. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to the one we preached to you, let him be accursed. That phrase means let him be damned in hell for all of eternity. That's what that phrase means. Now let that sink in. That is how seriously God looks at different gospels. Do you take different gospels that seriously? Do we take it that seriously when we hear messages that are contrary to the fullness of the grace of God in Jesus Christ? As we've said before, verse 9, so now I say again, if anyone is preaching to you a gospel to the one contrary to the one you received, let him be accursed. Let him be damned for all of eternity. What a horrifying warning that is. That every preacher of the gospel must take seriously. That anyone that God calls to preach the gospel better make sure that the gospel he is preaching is not contrary to the one that God has revealed in his word. Because the eternal consequence is horrifying. So let us keep our eyes on Christ. Let's keep our eyes on the grace of God in Jesus Christ. Stay faithful to God who called you. That's the first warning for us this morning. But secondly, notice verse 10. Seek favor from God, not men. Seek favor from God, not men. Paul says, for am I now seeking the approval of man or of God? Or am I trying to please man? If I were still trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Christ. So Paul's saying, if I would be giving in to the intimidation of the Judaizers as you are giving in to them, I would no longer be pleasing God. But now I would become a man pleaser. I would be more afraid of the rejection of man than I am the rejection of God or the one day future accountability of God. And again, this doesn't just apply to those of us who are called for our whole lives to be preachers of the gospel. Every believer is called to be a witness of the gospel. You may not be called to be a preacher vocationally, like a pastor or a missionary, but you are called to be a witness of the gospel. The question is, who are you going to fear more? And whose favor do you care about more? The favor, the approval of the people that you're witnessing to? You know, sometimes we can be tempted to kind of soften the gospel, right? We can soften the offense of the cross because we're afraid of who might reject us. We are afraid of that friend or that family member or that coworker who might just really think we're Jesus freak out of the 60s or something, if we really take Christ that seriously. And we back down. Why? Because of fear. Fear of rejection. And you know what fear of rejection is? Fear of rejection just exposes the fact that our heart longs more for the approval of man than it does the approval of God. And that's where you and I need to repent. You need to repent before God and say, God, forgive me Forgive me for loving the approval of man more than I love the approval of you, God, who saved my soul. I'm not saying you go out of your way to break relationships in your own power. Please don't misunderstand me. But please also make sure you don't go out of your way just to save relationships at the expense of truth. That you don't witness because you just don't want to lose that friend. We are called to be faithful to the God who called us. We are called to be faithful to the gospel that saves us. So seek favor from God, not man. That's what Paul's saying here. I mean, Paul's saying, if I was seeking your approval, I wouldn't be writing a strong letter like this. I would be softening this letter a lot. But he doesn't. Sometimes the truth is really hard to hear, isn't it? It is for all of us. And again, we're called to speak the truth in love. We're not called to go out of our way to be obnoxious Christians and to witness in such a way that we just, in our own power, would drive people away from us. It's not what we're, and then consider ourselves to be more spiritual because we're being persecuted. That's not what he's talking about here. We are called, though, to speak the truth in love. Speak the truth. Don't sacrifice the truth. But also make sure the way that you deliver the truth of the gospel to people is in a manner of genuine compassion and love for them as souls that are immortal. Souls that will one day live somewhere forever. Let us be more like the Apostle Paul and seek the approval of God and not the approval of man. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians. You've turned left in your Bible. Just one book. To chapter 11. The verses that we've just covered in Galatians really are wrapped up here in these verses in 2 Corinthians 11. In verse 1. Well, let's back it up actually to 10:17. Let the one who boasts boast in the Lord. For it is not the one who commends himself who is approved, but the one who the Lord commends. The same mindset here. Paul wants the commendation of the Lord. The approval of the Lord, not the approval of man. And he goes on in chapter 11. I wish you would bear with me in a little foolishness. Do bear with me. For I feel a divine jealousy for you. Since I betrothed you to one husband, to present you as a pure virgin to Christ. But I am afraid that as the serpent deceived Eve by his cunning, your thoughts will be led astray from a sincere and pure devotion to Christ. For if someone comes and proclaims another Jesus than the one we proclaimed, or if you receive a different spirit from the one you received, or if you accept a different gospel from the one you accepted, you put up with it readily enough. This is not a compliment, if you didn't catch that. The Apostle Paul is deeply concerned about the spiritual well-being of these precious believers at Corinth. He says, I feel a divine jealousy for you. What does he mean, divine jealousy? Well, jealousy is not a sin to God. Because jealousy is a strong affection and desire to guard that which belongs to you. And that's why the Bible says that God is jealous for his glory, because his glory belongs to him. And so it's always right for God to be jealous. It's not always right for us to be jealous. Sometimes it is. Not all jealousy is sin. And Paul has a divine jealousy here. What does he mean? He betrothed these believers to one husband, to Christ. He brought them into the kingdom, so to speak, as the human vessel. He was the one who preached the gospel there in Corinth. He was the one that God used to bring them into the family of God. And now there are those who are distracting them from a pure and simple devotion to Christ. As I was rereading verse 3 this morning, I thought, just again, the remarkable providence of the Lord. Because what Paul is calling for in verse 3 is a simplicity of devotion to Jesus. And I thought, thank you, Lord. And even as some of us gathered in my office this morning to pray before the service, we consciously thanked the Lord for stripping away from us those things that would keep us from thinking about the simplicity of Christ. Gone are so many things this morning that we take for granted that are part of a Sunday morning worship service. Might it be that one of the many, many reasons that God has done that for us is that he wants to remind us this morning that what he is after from you and from me is the simplicity and purity of devotion to Jesus. I think that's what we've heard in the testimony of our missionaries. There ought to be in our lives a simplicity of heart and love and devotion to Christ. And what is one of the things that steals that from us? Different gospels. That's what Paul says. If someone comes and proclaims another Jesus, then the one we proclaimed, if you receive a different spirit from the one you received, if you accept a different gospel and you put up with it, that ought not to be so. Your love and devotion to Christ should be so pure that when you hear a different gospel preached, the antenna of your heart and mind should tingle. They should give off a warning sign. And God says, don't listen to it. Go back to Christ. Go back to the simplicity and purity of devotion to Christ. And I think that's what God is calling us to this morning. Father, help us, we pray. There are so many distractions in our lives. So many things that we don't even know are distracting us until they're gone. Well, Lord, there's a lot of things distracting us that we're not even conscious of. There are messages. There are different gospels. God, protect us, help us. Give us discernment. Give us courage and grace to be witnesses who speak the truth in love. Help us now, Lord, as we lift our voices in song. May we worship you with all of our hearts, with a sincere and pure devotion to Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen. When Josiah was planning this morning's service, he reached out to Marty and Mimi and asked if they had any special songs that were especially dear to them over the course of their life here at Cornerstone. And we're going to stand and sing a couple of those songs together.